You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to our CFL pick straight up and against the spread for week 18 in the Canadian Football League. JC, only three games this week, but honestly, at this point of the season, I'm not angry about that. How do you feel about the three-game week?
It's like a nice little break at this stage, right? We've been in the thick of it. We've been trudging through all these impactful games. The playoff picture is starting to clear up a little bit. There's a couple of games here that are impactful, but some ones that are less impactful, like the first one we're going to talk about here, gives us a little bit of a reprieve to reassess, reevaluate, relax a little bit, Hodge.
Yeah, it feels like the breath before the storm in a way, right? Mm-hmm. Or the calm before the storm, the breath before the plunge. It feels like an opportunity because there's not a lot of hot playoff races right now in the CFL, right? We've got a couple of teams that are basically out, a third one that's probably out, and then we've got a team at the very top we're going to talk about in a moment that's not guaranteed first place. Like, nothing has been locked up in the CFL yet, but we kind of know where things are heading. So if this was not the case, if there were a ton of hot playoff races, those types of things, I'd be jacked for week 18. But right now it feels like, you know, there are some hot races going on, but like they're not going to be set for another few weeks. So to me, this feels like we're kind of getting the board set, and the last couple weeks of the season are going to be chaos. And of course the playoffs are going to be great, as they always are. You went 2-2 last week against the spread. I went 2-2 last week against the spread. We did not have a show because I was traveling, but our picks are always on 3downnation.com. They release the morning of the first game of the week. So our picks, most of the season, are out Friday. And then come playoff time, we'll actually probably keep doing them Friday for the Saturday playoff games. For Grey Cup Sunday, they'll probably be out the Saturday if you want to trail anything. And before we get into our picks, please sign up for the 3downnation newsletter. You want all the latest inside news, analysis, insight to your inbox. Boom, it's right there. We're going to be adding some nice bells and whistles over the next little bit. So don't forget to subscribe to that. You can do so by visiting the 3downnation homepage and just plunking your email address in. Simple as that. Takes 2 seconds. And you can unsubscribe at any time if you decide that those emails are not for you. But we think they will be because they're great. And who doesn't like waking up to fresh emails about the Canadian Football League and all the news around it? Let's get into game number one, JC. The Ottawa Redblacks are 3-point home underdogs to the visiting Saskatchewan Roughriders on Friday night at TD Place Stadium, where the green and white will look to clinch a home playoff game with a win. Saskatchewan is coming off back-to-back losses, but is still in prime position to finish first in the West Division thanks to a 10-2 start to the season, and it looks like they're starting to get healthy at the right time with Kian Schaefer-Baker and Philippe Gagnon getting back into the lineup for the first time in over 3 months. Meanwhile, the Redblacks can be eliminated from playoff contention with a loss this week and appear to already be in next year territory after trading former All-CFL defensive lineman Lorenzo Mald in the fourth to Calgary earlier this week. JC, can the Rough Riders win and cover on the road, or will the Redblacks give their fans something to cheer about?
I'm all on the Riders in this one. I know trips to the East can be difficult and they are playing on the road, but the Ottawa Redblacks sent up a giant smoke signal this week that they've given up, right? Trading Lorenzo Mald away to the Calgary Stampeders is the signal that even though you're not technically eliminated from playoff contention right now, you know that you're going to be eliminated from playoff contention and you're looking forward. I think there are major changes coming to that organization. I think everybody on the field knows that. They don't know who their head coach is going to be next year. They don't necessarily know who's going to be running the team from the top next year either. And because of that, I don't know that they're going to have the energy or the willpower to withstand a very good Riders team that should be fired up after their first back-to-back losses of the 2025 season and who are getting major pieces back like Keon Schaefer-Baker. The Riders win this by more than a touchdown in my estimation. I've got them all day.
I don't think Maldon is a huge loss for the Red Blacks. In his own words, he said he was not a good fit for their scheme this season. Only 2 sacks for him at age 33. I think he's hit a little bit of a wall. I'm not saying he can't be a good player in the CFL anymore, but he's certainly no longer a dominant one like he was back in 2022 when he was named the league's most outstanding defensive player. And I'm honestly excited to see some of these changes. They've got Michael Wakefield moving to the outside from the inside to fill that spot. And they've got a guy like Aiden John out of St. Mary's University, former third-round pick, who I think has a very high ceiling, a guy who has been developing for the last few years and I'm excited to see on the field in pass rush situations a little more often. That said, JC, I ultimately agree with you here. The Riders have made a change of kicker this week. Campbell Fair making his first appearance in a regular season CFL game. The Brampton native who played collegially at the University of Ottawa. We'll have to wait and see what he does. Obviously, he's unproven, but Brett Lauther's under 70% for the year, which is just not acceptable, obviously. So the Riders still have some key injuries. Tavon Campbell's out. Their secondary is a little bit of a mess. But I think with how things are getting set on the offensive side of the ball, with the way that Ottawa's defense has struggled as of late, particularly through the air, I am bullish on what this Riders team can do this week. I am taking the Saskatchewan Roughriders to win and cover this relatively short spread. The Riders have stubbed their toe in back-to-back games. I see this as a get-right game for them. And I do think that the Red Blacks are going to keep battling for Bob Dice, who I agree with you, JC. At this point, it looks highly unlikely he'll be back for 2026. But, I mean, at the end of the day, this team just isn't good enough, which is why they're one game away from elimination. So I will take the Riders to win and cover this spread. A mere field goal doesn't do much to scare me off.
The Toronto Argonauts are 1.5-point home underdogs to the visiting Hamilton Tigercats at BMO Field on Saturday afternoon, where they'll look to keep their playoff hopes alive in front of Doug Flutie and Jim Kelly, who will be in town for Toronto's Future of Football celebration in partnership with the Buffalo Bills. The Argonauts were awful along the offensive line last week as that group has been ravaged by injuries, while the Tabbies suffered a 40-3 loss at the hands of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Can the Ticats get back to their winning ways as they push to finish first in the East Division, or can the Boatmen play spoiler at home?
I'm on the Tabbies this week, and I think that this is a bounce-back opportunity for them. The score in Winnipeg last week, I thought, really flattered the Blue Bombers. I'm not saying the Blue Bombers didn't deserve to win. I thought they did, but it didn't feel like a 37-point win. The Ticats had 2 turnovers on downs, you know, right in the red zone. Those easily could have turned into touchdowns for that club. And obviously the Bombers got a special teams touchdown from Trey Vavil. So I think the Ticats were way better than the score looked. I thought that felt more like a, you know, 35-21 type of game. And Bo Levi Mitchell, I think, wants to finish first place here, right? I mean, the Montreal Alouettes, who were posing no threat to catch them in the standings just a couple weeks ago, suddenly hit the gas, smashed the gas, if you will, last week with Davis Alexander coming back into the lineup and looking like $1 million against Bo's former team. You can't keep Kenny Lawler down for that long. You can't keep Keandre Smith down for that long. You can't keep Tim White down for that long. Bo's got the weapons. He's got the protection. And the Argos are super banged up along the offensive line. Brandon Kemp, their left tackle, you saw it firsthand in Vancouver there last week, JC, went down. They flexed Ryan Hunter out to left tackle. Mm-hmm. And Matthew Betts absolutely ate him for lunch. I think Jillian Hauser, who's had a brilliant bounce-back season for the Tabbies, can take advantage of that. The rest of that D-line in Hamilton, to me, is kind of a bunch of role players. They're not guys who blow the doors off 1-to-1. But I think this Argonauts offensive line has proven that they're just not up to snuff in those battles. And they're fighting injuries with guys like Sage Dockstader on the injury report. Guys like Ryan Hunter himself is still on the injury report. They're banged up, like really, really banged up. So I think that the Ticats are going to be able to launch an assault on Nick Arbuckle in that backfield, just like he faced against the Lions last week. And I think the offense is going to do enough to get this win. And yeah, it's in Toronto, but we all know there's going to be thousands of Ticats fans who make the trip up the QEW to take this one in and provide some support for the black and yellow. So I am taking the Hamilton Tiger Cats to win and cover this very short spread.
I'll be honest, it would make me really happy to see the Argos pull the upset here, if only because this is the last game that's going to be played at BMO Field until midway through next year because of the World Cup and the Argos playing their home games on the road. Hopefully, Toronto can give a good show to their fans who they have horribly mistreated by making the decision they did not to play at a local facility like Guelph during that time. But I don't think they have the horses right now. This was a team that was missing pieces at the best of times, and now, as you laid out beautifully there, Hodge, they are super banged up. And the Ticats are going to have some pieces back this week. We'll see Jamal Peters likely back in the lineup. And I think they got a wake-up call last week against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The narratives that were coming out from the players, the statements that Bo Levi Mitchell made after those games, after that game, rang true to me, right? Talking about how clinching the playoffs doesn't mean S-H-I-T, right? He is... was demanding more from his team, demanding more from them on an individual level. And I think they are going to answer back this week in what is a very winnable game and what will be a fairly friendly venue for them to play in with all those fans coming up the QEW. I think the Ticats take this and take this easily.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Well, and let's talk about that Argo fan situation, because I still am not against this MLSE Argos Bills partnership. As I've written, I think that there could be upside for all parties. But one thing I did think was funny was Keith Pelley, the president and CEO of MLSE, was on Overdrive and said, well, we've sold more tickets for this game than any other. And it's like, wow, at first glance, that means this partnership is great. And then you go, wait a minute, the Ticats are coming to town? It's like, well, okay. I'm not saying that this partnership has not in any way, shape, or form enhanced ticket sales, but like, I think the Ticats being in town is probably the larger factor. But anyway, we shall see. And for all of our friends in Toronto, yes, hopefully at the very least, they're treated to a great game, because it is going to be a long time before we see another football game in Toronto. The BC Lions are 3.5-point home favorites over the visiting Calgary Stampeders on Saturday night at BC Play Stadium, where they'll look to move into second place in the West Division standings. The Lions crushed Calgary recently and can sweep the season series with a win in Vancouver. Meanwhile, the Stampeders are looking to end a three-game losing skid, during which their once dominant defense has given up an average of 40.3 points per game. 40.3. That is crazy. Malik Henry and Markel Lee, who have missed almost the entire season for Calgary, might be returning for the Stampeders, while BC is getting closer to having Javon Katoy and Dejon Allen, two key pieces on offense, back in the lineup. Which team will come out victorious on Saturday?
Well, as you mentioned there, Hodge, the Lions recently beat the brakes off the Stampeders. And while I don't think it's going to be as wide a gap between these two teams as it was in that game, I'm still riding with the Lions. I think this team has massively improved over the last three games. I think their pass rush has been revolutionized by the additions of Levi Bell and Bradley Ane, who, by the way, did not play in that Stampeders game, but played on each game on either side of that game and had a sack in each one. I think he's going to give that Calgary offensive line some problems, and Nathan Rourke can have a bit of a bounce back from an off performance last week where he threw three interceptions. Do I think Vernon Adams Jr. is finally going to look a little bit better and find his stride? I would hope so, in a return to a stadium that loved him not so long ago. I think there's going to be some positive emotions there. I hope that he has a better performance than he did when they played the Lions 2 weeks ago, but I don't think it's going to be enough. The Lions have found their mojo. I'm going to pick them to win and cover this short spread.
Yeah, there's been speculation that Vernon Adams Jr. just can't play once it starts to get cold, and there might be something to that, and obviously playing indoors in Vancouver could be a huge benefit to him. That said, I think sometimes when a team gets the doors beaten off of them, as we've seen recently with the Calgary Stampeders, they bounce back, right? And they come back and they show something brand new, and they really get off the mat. And sometimes you just break a team and the team is never the same. And I'm sorry, but with these three latest losses by the Calgary Stampeders, I've lost all faith in this team. And if this team was a stock, I hope you sold all of it in mid-September for a massive profit. I'm not saying they can't get back, but I have a hard time seeing them at least get back to where they were just 3 weeks ago. This was a team that spent the first two-thirds of the season dominating opposing offenses with Jalen Hutchings and Falara Nerimalade eating up opposing blockers and helping this defense play tremendous football, rushing only four players, yet getting a ton of pressure. I do think that the addition of Maldon is good. Obviously, again, as stated, I don't think he's the player he once was, but I still think he can be effective. And clearly this team needed to do something, and I applaud them for making a move before the trade deadline, which is traditionally a non-event in the Canadian Football League. That said, I don't think it's enough for this defense to go back to being by far and away the best in the CFL. The numbers, again, are staggering. This team was allowing less than half of the points that they are as of late. Like, it is crazy, the difference. And obviously Nathan Rourke, I mean, the way that he's playing right now, the anger with which he's playing, it's like he thinks that if he wins, these CFL rules are going to go back to the way they were. Like, that's honestly how it feels. And you're welcome to steal that for your column, JC, post game, if you want to. He is playing like a man possessed. He forced some things last week, three picks against the Argonauts, but it was still good enough to win. I don't think Rourke's going to throw three more picks this week. I'm with the BC Lions. The 3.5 points do not scare me. I would personally take the Lions here up to six, maybe even a touchdown. I'm rolling with BC. This week at home, I think that they temporarily at least move into second place in the West Division. Should be noted, Calgary does have a game in hand, so the Stampeders do still control some of their own destiny when it comes to these things, but they're going to need a win this week if they want to keep the potential of finishing first place in the West Division alive. Though again, after the last 3 weeks, that's hard to envision. For JC Abbott, I'm John Hodge. Those are our picks for week 18 in the Canadian Football League. Don't forget to rate, like, subscribe, share, all of those good things, and let us know on social media how you did with your picks this week once the games are done. We'll see you on Sunday or Monday alongside Justin Dunk for our next episode of the Three Down Nation podcast.